CBN Mobile and Monitoring. Echo Alpha Echo, good morning, just barely. Bit of feedback or static on that last transmission. How do you copy?
Copy on you. I'm actually in Taylor's at the moment, so it's a little hilly here, so I may be sort of up and down.
I missed your call. Give it to me one more time if you don't mind. This is KE6KEN.
Yeah, KE6KEN. This is Whiskey 4 Echo Alpha Echo. Ryan, I'm up helping my mother out this morning. I actually normally live in the Columbia area.
Very cool. Well, if you're doing outdoor things, it's not too bad out there yet. I've got a big pile of mulch on my driveway that I've got to deal with a little bit later today. So good on you for helping your mom. That's great.
A cool day today. I was kind of surprised, but after the rain yesterday, it definitely was a lot more pleasant, at least in my mind.
I was expecting one of those real hot, humid, sort of steam bath kind of days, but it really is a lot better than that today.
I think living in Columbia, that's in the summertime, it's the thing we always hope for is if we have a thunderstorm, hopefully it happens in the evening, because if it happens in the middle of the afternoon, by, as soon as it's over, it's just, it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity, and it's just miserable.
Understood. How did you guys fare in the storm down in Columbia? Or storms, plural, I guess I should say.
About it is, Columbia, and, Greenville to a certain extent, but during the summer months, once you get into June, July, and August, you've pretty much got a 50% chance of a serious thunderstorm every single afternoon. So I think generally, obviously there are things that are going to get damaged from time to time, but I think generally everybody's just so used to it that stuff's secured a little bit better, people are prepared a little bit better, and so it just all works out.
Yep, that's great. Well, it really wasn't too bad here most recently. A couple of weeks ago, we had, I think, some more severe storms move through that hit Anderson very badly. And we happened to be camping out by the Chattooga River that night, which was not pleasant. if you're going to be in a thunderstorm, I can recommend not camping on that same night.
and it's funny, the sort of precautions that I take with my amateur radio set up at home, all the guying I do with my masks and antennas and stuff and extra security stuff with that. I have a self-installed solar array on my roof. All that was kind of what a lot of people would consider overkill, but stuff that I did to make sure that secure and waterproofing and all those kind of things is just when you can expect those storms and expect those winds just about any day, you prepare in a very different way than when it's a slight chance that happens only infrequently.
Understood. I usually unplug my antennas for sure, and then I'll use the internal antenna just for the repeaters and stuff. How long you been into radio?
2018, in amateur radio. I've been in radio longer than that, doing some commercial stuff, but sort of because of that, what I've got is I've got a really excellent safety grounding system at my house. I actually have a ground rod array that is tied to my mains and all that stuff, and I've got all my things ground. I've got RF surge protectors on all my antenna inputs, since I got all that stuff up and running, I have actually had lightning strike close enough to basically wipe out an antenna. The radio was plugged in, zero damage to the radio because the RF surge protector kicked in and failed. So I don't really unplug anything, but I definitely keep everything grounded and keep the RF surge protectors in line.
Amazing. That sounds like a really optimal system. I'm working on upgrading my grounding right now, hopefully it will be done in a few weeks here, but it's not going to be anywhere as good as what you just described, I guarantee it. That's really cool.
really did some research on it, and what I wound up with is a total of 16 ground rods that basically form sort of a U-shape around my house that are all tied together. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do it that way was because I wanted to have sort of multiple points that I could attach grounding. So I've got four of those 16 rods come up out of the ground a bit so I can attach things to them. The rest are buried and linked together underground. So there's four rods that come up around the house at different spots, but there are more than that in between them to complete the network properly.
Cool. Now, did you put that array in like while you were building the house, or did you add it after the house was, you know, constructed and landscaped and such?
Oh, no, I added it afterwards. The house was actually built in 1960. I put that in about 3 years ago.
Well, that sounds like a good bit of work to get the whole array, you know, connected underground. You had to trench a little bit then, right?
I got the used just a hammer, a heavy hammer, to pound the rods in. I did it over a period of time, but basically got the rods 1.5 2 feet, and then the ones that I wanted sort of just I dug pretty much just by hand, dug the trenches and dug out around the rods. I dug, you know, a larger space around the rods that I was going to have below ground so that I had room to pound them down and make the connections. And then once I made all the connections, I just filled those holes back in and filled the trenches back in. And with the way stuff grows in Columbia and grass creeps and all that kind of stuff, it didn't take in the summertime, it didn't take 3 or 4 weeks until you couldn't even tell that it happened.
Peter's going to reclaim us all here in the South very quickly if we just slow down a little bit, right? So what did you tie the rods together with?
The rods are actually tied with solid copper with a... I've got a copper weld to the rod, but then also have physical clamps on it. So to get the best both electrical and mechanical connection, it's not going to break. And then all that stuff is buried.
That's really great work. So you were in the radio industry, which is kind of how you got interested in radio, is that right?
In the radio industry, but in the IT industry, tied to a lot of different radio stuff, with the resonant antennas, with power, RF safety, all those kind of things. So that was part of what got me into it.
Great start. That's the kind of stuff that I struggle with, you know, having no background in it whatsoever. I just got interested in it really kind of accidentally. I was looking for just a handheld for hiking, and then I discovered repeaters. And when I discovered repeaters, I got interested in radio. And when I got interested in radio, I started taking my exams and things like that. So one thing led to another. And now I'm all in.
You know, I used commercial radios, and then I decided to get a GMRS license that I could use with my wife, and had that for about 6 months before I decided to get an amateur radio license. And I studied for it a little bit, and I got so in 2018 I got my technician and general in the first sitting. They offered me the extra, and I wish I would have just gone ahead and taken it, even if I wouldn't have passed it. And 3 months later, I took the extra and got that one, so I got it all wiped out pretty quickly.
So your background, I would think, would have helped, especially with the extra and all. That's really, really good. So what are you doing in terms of HF these days? I just literally passed my general this morning, so I'm now looking to put together an HF station, and am thinking I want to keep it mobile for the time being. But what are you doing for HF?
Well, I do work HF, but it's not really my primary thing. I've got a the antenna that I have at home is actually a long wire antenna with a tuner at the wire connection. So it's a remote tuner. The tuner sits outside. And then there's, that the one side of the tuner is grounded, one side of the tuner is the long wire, and then the tuner connections, the connection cable that goes back to the tuner. So it's tuned at the feed point. So it's not the most efficient thing in the world, but it's reasonably efficient because the tuner is right there at the feed point. So that's kind of what I use just for simplicity. And it can, you basically tune up any of the HF bands, and that's what I do with HF. But HF isn't really my big thing. I'm really mostly into two meter 70 centimeter weak signal, and even microwave stuff is my primary sort of interest.
GR.
KE6KEN, come on in.
I didn't mean to interrupt your guys' conversation, but I did, I guess. This is Ken, and Ken, this is Tom. So apparently you've heard me before. I just wanted to add something that might be of interest to you guys. I have installed many years ago whole house lightning protection, which I think in essence it's just a big MOV, a metal oxide wear resistor, and it looks like a double pole breaker. It's very simple to install, and it protects your whole house. And I have one in the panel upstairs and one in the panel downstairs. And I got KE6KEN, but I didn't get the other gentleman's call. And it's about time for that anyways, N0TR.
Whiskey 4, Echo, Alpha, Echo. I am about to make a stop at the store here, so I got to go, and I'll be back in a little bit. But I hope you guys have a nice day if I don't catch again. And this is Ryan, Whiskey 4, Echo, Alpha, Echo.
Nice to meet you, Ryan. Go ahead, Kent.
All right, Tom, you were an electrician in your working years, is that right?
Yes, I was an industrial electrician and an industrial electronic technician on CNC machine tools for about 50 years.
What this system is called again that you installed?
It's a whole house lightning arrestor. You can very simply put it in yourself if you're not scared to death of electricity. Just turn your main breaker off if you want, and you just snap it in place where a double pole breaker normally goes, and there will be a neutral wire coming off of it, and you just run it over to where all the other white bars are on there. Now, mine are General Electric ones. You do need to know the name of your electric panel. I have noticed that Home Depot seems to be a better supplier of them than does Lowe's. I go to both places, but I'm certain that a place like downtown Greer there, I can't think of the name of it, they have an electrical outlet there, and they would also probably have them. They used to be $50 or $60, but with all the inflation, they're probably more like $100 now.
Pretty cool, I think that we're going to be in for probably stormier summers over the next few years than we have in the past. So, might be a good idea to go with a whole house system. So, appreciate you sharing that.
In the old days, everybody had surge protectors on every single thing in the house, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this kind of simplifies things and eliminates a lot of other things, and it's very simply installed, and it's the same exact size as a double pole circuit breaker. And as to your antennas on HF, I have three wire antennas, and you're welcome to come by and look at them if you want to anytime, and I'm good on QRZ on my address and all, but I use... Wow, that's my wife. She dropped something in the sink over there. She's making us some biscuits and gravy because we're having brunch because I had a blood draw this morning down at the VA. But the Alpha Delta or polyphaser lightning arresters are excellent. I like the Alpha Deltas because they have a small fuse in them, and you can just hand tighten it into the side of them with a little brass cup. And they should never go out, really, unless you get a very bad hit. But you just put them in line with your PL-259 going to your antenna. Over.
It sounds really cool. Well, I think I might take you up on the on looking at your system. I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks, but I'll get back in touch with you when I get back in town, and maybe we could set up HF systems installed, et cetera. So I think it'll be, at this point, really, really helpful.
Work quite a number. Yeah, I've been a ham since 93, and I feel like I got a pretty nice station, and I got a Carolina Wyndham that's 265 feet long, and which, if you go, you can do a smaller one that only does up to 80 meters. This does to 160, but seems like in this computer age, a lot of the people want to do FT8 instead of working to get the CW. And of course, back in my days, you had to do 20 words a minute to finally get the extra. But I use CW a lot, but I use voice also. And then I have a 160-meter vertical, and then it's wire. And then I have a super loop, which I think is one of the finest antennas in the world, and it'll do 10 through 80 on HF. I have never invested a lot in HF mobile. I don't see the value in it, but you need to talk to somebody that has it, and don't jump and buy very quickly, because it can be a real pain in the butt. But depends on you and what you want to do. But the base station probably will be more productive for you. Although I've talked to some mobile stations over the years, but not a great deal. This is N0TR.
Ian, yeah, you know, it's such an interesting hobby. They're just like layers and layers. And, of course, you don't know what you don't know, and so you get into it a little bit, and you think you're going to go in one way, and then something else interests you. And somebody described it as not really a hobby, but 1,000 hobbies, and I totally agree with that.
Like fishing, it's a big hole you can dump a lot of money into.
I'm starting to discover that.
I like my Kenwood gear, but, you know, Kenwood hasn't advanced like Yaesu and ICOM has. I'm just old. I'm 76 years old, and I don't want to change. But I have considered another radio, because I lost my band scope here a while back, and nobody knows how to make it go again. It involves some computer work. So I just have one friend that does, and I hate to ask him because he's way south of here, and so I'm not going to ask him unless he just volunteers to come up and help me out. But, oh, man, I miss that band scope, and most of the Yaesus and the ICOMs have that band scope on them, which is very helpful. But I know how to operate without it because I did without it for over 20 years. And I like my Kenwood. I got a 590SG, TS590SG. And, you know, like last night, I only operated about an hour, and I just kind of cherry-pick what I want. And I like the Indian Ocean a lot and the South Pacific, so I look for those. And North Pole, South Pole, things like that. But I don't sit down there for hours at a time. And there was one on there last night from Russia, so I picked him out and one other one and worked them on CW. But I can work about anywhere in the world most any time. But I don't do the computer modes. I just don't have an interest in them. I like voice and I like CW. KE6, KEN, N0TR.
Tom. The HF world is, so brand new to me. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what the scope of possibility is. And I've heard you talk on the radio a number of times about talking to people in Russia and various other places, or doing CW with them. It sounds fascinating to me. Some of the guys who are doing SOTA, POTA, that interests me a little bit. NVIS, I think, is kind of interesting just because. I don't know where it's all going to lead, but I'm just trying to learn as much as I can right now.
The SOTA and the POTAs are excellent places to work. I worked one last night, and he was a long ways off. You remember where that was at, Bernice? But he was, let me see, where was he? He was south. I forget where that was at. Someplace, might have been Uruguay or someplace, but it was south. North and south is easy, usually, and... But I was amazed that he was doing parks on the air. And I think I had worked him years ago. But I worked one the other night that I hadn't worked for 20 years that was in Yellowknife in Alaska. It doesn't matter to me whether they're overseas or the United States or what. I was just amazed that I was here, this same guy, 20 or 30 years. I think it was 26 years. I heard that call, and I thought, well, I've heard him before. I told Bernice, I said, I think I'll just jump on the key here and see, and sure enough, it was. It's a lot of enjoyment. I've worked everything from radio telegraphers to beginning people, and you know where to look for certain speeds and all of that after a while, Ken. Ken, I got to let you go. My biscuits and gravy are coming out of the oven. And I'm sorry to say, but they read over you today. Nice talking to you, KE6, KEN. Take a look at those whole house lightning protectors. They're a good investment. And for insurance purposes, I think they'd be an excellent investment. This is N0TR73. Have a safe day.
KE6 KEN, thanks so much for the conversation and the information, Tom, and I'll be back in touch with you in a couple of weeks. Look out for those biscuits and gravy. If Bernice dropped them in the sink there, that might just mean they're super heavy. So be careful with that. Take care. 73 KE6 KEN clear.
No, that was the oven door, Ken. Thankfully. In 0G arms, showing 85 degrees, 5 to 8 out of the northwest. And it's supposed to be even cooler the next 3 or 4 days. So we enjoy. In 0GR clear.